Okay, so we're continuing on with the series on discovering Jesus, and I think we're up to part 13 this week. Hopefully I've done my little mental arithmetic there. And I've called this week's message, Going the Distance, and there's a couple of factors here I want to share with you. First of all, I just want to draw attention to the fact that this guy, this royal official, who when he'd heard that Jesus had come back into town to Cana, he lived in Capernaum. And Jesus arrived back in Galilee, his hometown, where most people would have thought he wouldn't have had much honour. And this royal official who remains nameless but becomes famous because of his faith has gone a certain distance. It's about 30 k's travel. That's sort of the northwest or the northern region of what we now think of as the Holy Land. And we can see up there is Cana, and over there is Capernaum right there. And he's gone some 30-odd kilometres, which he might have been on foot, he might have travelled, to go to the trouble of seeing if Jesus can help his son who was unwell and nearly on the point of death. Now, there's a couple of points I want to bring out this morning in this passage, which I think are quite useful. One of which is about this concept of going a distance to get a response from God, travelling to get to God, this need of, well, where do we go? How do we find God? And how do we find him meeting our needs? And I reckon there's not much that we can't learn, as an illustration, from The Wizard of Oz. How many of you know the story that Dorothy, swept up in the storm, found herself out in a far distant land, found that the only way she can get home is to travel the yellow brick road to The Wizard of Oz, who then would know how to get her home? She had to go a fair distance to get the answer that she sought, to get her need met. Or so she thought, because of course the twist in the end of the story is, well, she had the means right there with her to gain the blessing and the benefit that she had sought in the first place. And even more so, when she found herself back home in Kansas, all the people that she loved and all that she needed was already there. So keep that in the back of your mind as a concept that, well, you know, sometimes we don't actually have to go very, very far to get what it is that we're seeking from God or from anywhere else. So the story goes like this. There's a man who had a problem he needed Jesus to solve, and he had a crisis. Quite clearly he had a crisis. His son was unwell, and he turned to Jesus when there was nothing else, no one else that could possibly help him. He turned in desperation to Jesus. We don't know how long this boy had been sick. We don't know for sure what means the father had tried up until now to get him help and medication to heal whatever the illness was. We don't really know. But we do know is he thought, I've got a problem here. I've heard that Jesus could do great things. Because it says in the early part of this passage that in returning to Cana, they welcomed him eagerly. They'd heard he'd done miracles in Jerusalem at the Passover. They'd heard, even though in his own town he might not have had too much honour, they thought enough of him that they'd heard great things and welcomed him eagerly, didn't they? This guy realised, maybe this Jesus can help me. So in his crisis, he had a crisis faith. He had a need that, well, the normal things aren't working. Let's turn to God. And I put the question there, in our lives, sometimes is Jesus the first one we turn to or the last one? Because, you know, our lifestyle here in Australia is pretty much geared up to make Jesus the last one we turn to when we have a need. Do you ever wonder why, in countries where oppression and sickness and poverty are rampant, that the gospel is flourishing? Because they already don't not have anywhere else to turn. You know, they have to turn to God because they don't have a system of government that works. They don't have sanitation. They don't have wealth and comfort. All they have is God. And they realise that, well, it's easy for them to realise that God can meet their needs because they don't have any artificial other comforts to live by. And, you know, we live in a really blessed world. We've got bread out in the foyer out there. We've got comfortable homes. We've got cars. We have doctors we can go to. How often is it that we just have made such comfort for ourselves that we don't think, well, let's turn to God first? Truth is, all of these things do come from God in the very first place, ultimately. But how easy is it for us to not turn to God first and foremost for our needs? Or at least, at the very least, to recognise and worship him for the blessings that he's poured out to us? How easy is it for us to overlook that? Do we turn to him last, or do we go to him first? And I reckon that's why The gospel flourishes so well in countries where we don't have much comfort, where things are a bit tough, because they know there's nothing else to turn to but Jesus. It takes us a while sometimes to get to that point. So the man came to Jesus, his son was dying in desperation. He came to Jesus with a crisis faith, and he said, "Please heal my son. Come and heal my son. Come to where I am." And he said, "Well, he will live. He'll be fine." Jesus said, "Go home. Your boy will live," didn't he? He said that.